Okay, we're beginning here at the bottom of Bet Amudbet. Just to review from yesterday, we have the statement from Rava that there's a difference between Kodoshim and Get. And that by the case of Kodoshim, Stam Kodoshim, we assume is Lishma. Whereas by Stam Get, we assume that it is Lo Lishma. And so the Gemara went through establishing the fact that by Stam Kodoshim, we assume that it is Lishma. And the last thing we left off with was Gabe Get, the Stama Pasul, Minolon. How do we know the fact that by a get, mistam, it is pasul? Ilim hadetnan, so the attempt from the Mishnah in Gitin, ayahu ver bashuk, he was passing through the marketplace. Vishama sufrim, makrim, ish ploni giresh plonit, mimakom ploni. So-and-so divorced so-and-so from such a place. Bamar, lo and behold, zeshmi, zeshem ishti. Say, oh, that's my name, that's my wife's name. What a great coincidence. I can use this get to divorce my wife. Pasul the garesh po. So there, the Mishnah says that it is pasul. Seems from there that that was done stam. That was done generically. And we say that the get is invalid. Mar says, Dima kedra papa. Maybe the invalidity over there is created by damar of papa. Hacha b'sofrim ha'svim lit lameda skinan. That's a case where it was a school of sofrim where they were learning how to write. And as we noted yesterday, there are then three levels of writing. There's someone who's writing for the intent of practicing, which is that they're not even writing a get. They're simply writing to learn how to make a get. Then there'll be somebody who's writing generically and saying that this is a get if I can find people whose names match up with whatever's found in the get. And then there'll be a get, lishma. But what we're speaking about here in the Mishnah is that lowest level, which is not even made for a get. Lo yichtub l'shum kretot klal. And therefore it's not even written to be a bill of divorce. It's simply a document that is being a test document, not a bill of divorce. Elemeha, maybe from here. Yeter al kain, more so by the case, cut of the gareshet ishto, if he wrote a get to divorce his wife, v'nimlach, and then he changed his mind, mitzao ben iro v'amarlo. Someone from his city finds him and says, shmi kishimcha, v'shem ishti kishem ishticha. We have the same names. Our wives have the same names. Pasul le gareshpo. The second party can't use that get in order to get a divorce from his wife. So now here again, being that he made it for his wife, it generically should have now the status of a get. Why can't I use it for someone else with the same names? Where it says, Dilmashani hotam, de intakle le shem girushin, dahahu. Because that was already designated for a particular divorce. And maybe that's what makes it pasul over here. Not the fact that it was done generically, because it really wasn't done generically. It was done for particular parties. And those two parties, then, if they don't use it for a divorce, that is what makes it pasul. Now, Tosafot over here says, what was the question to start with? It's so clear that in this Mishnah, the reason that it doesn't work is because the get was written for particular people. How do you even compare this to a case of stam? Look in the Bayit Tosfot, he says, Tema, Mayin Zeh Etzel Stam, Yesh Lomar, Tesalka Datcho, this would have been the Havamina. Kevin did Nimlach, once he changed his mind, Im Kain, Mistamo Kotovo, Mitchila, Shim Yachzorbo, Yigarish Mishirtzeh. Because he changed his mind, means that there was uncertainty in the divorce when he wrote the document. If there was uncertainty when they drew up the document, it must mean that when they drew up the document, he had in mind for the possibility that he may not use it, and that someone else can use it. And that's the question here. You see that it is stam, and yet it is pasul. Gemara says, no, here it's clearly indicated for particular people, and since it was designated for a particular divorce, then you can't use it for someone else. And that's why, it was designated for that particular divorce, and therefore you can't use it for someone else. It's not a stam. Ella miha, maybe from this Mishnah. Yeter al kein, yesh lo shtei nashim, shishmotehem shavot. He's married to two women with the same name. Katav l'tgareshet akdola. If he writes a document, bill of divorce, to divorce the older of the two, v'lo yigaresh bo ataktana. He can't utilize it for the younger one. So again here, when he writes it, there's no indication through the names that are in there, whether it's for the older wife, or for the younger wife, since they share the same name. So you would think that's written generically. And since it's written generically, why can't I use it for either one of the two women? So the Gemara again says, Dilma Shani Hotam, It still was drawn up as a bill of divorce for that particular woman. He had in mind when he's going to divorce his wife that he was going to divorce the older of the two. Then when he changes it to use it for the younger of the two, again, that's changing it from a particular designation to someone else. That's not a case of stama. That's not a case of where it's written generically. Elamiha, maybe from this. Yeter akein, amar lelavlar, he says to the sofer, tov, ule'ezer she'erze egarish. So here, this is generic. Draw it up, and I'll use it for whomever I choose in the end. I have two wives with the same name. Now let it be up to me. You draw it up generically, and then I'll decide which wife it is for. Pasul legarish bo. There it's pasul to use as a bill of divorce. Sounds like if it was generic, it wouldn't work. It says again, demoshani otam, de'ein breira. That maybe it's different there, because the Mishnah is coming to teach you that ein breira, that you're not allowed to make that choice after the fact. If you have to do something lishma, then you can't generate that lishma after the fact. It's actually the Gemara's midayik from that Mishnah, that ein breira, that there is no such thing as breira. The Balei Tosafot note, this is right over there, note that it's possible, even according to the one who normally thinks breira works, that over here breira will not work, because you need lishma to be at the time of the writing. You need to create the lishma then. You can't retroactively imbue the item with lishma. At the time it was written, it has to be directed towards the individuals that it's for. And so you can't prove anything from here, because all it's telling you is that in breira, it doesn't say anything about it was drawn up generically. It just says that if you're choosing between two individuals and it's written for them, you can't pick after the fact which one it goes for. Elamiha, we can learn it from this. Akotev tofse gitim. Someone who is drawing up forms, generic forms for gitim. So you have a sofer who wants to be ready for the next couple that wants a divorce that comes in. So he wants to have the forms that are ready so that he can just fill in whatever is the material. Tzarich sheniach makom ha'ish u'makom ha'isha. You have to leave blank the name of the man, the name of the woman. U'makom ha'idim, and the place where the idim sign. U'makom ha'zman, and the date. So here you see that when you're drawing up these generic forms, you can't put in the basic details that need to be in a get. You can't put them in ahead of time, because then the get would not be good. It'd only be good if you leave those areas blank and then fill them in afterwards. You also have to leave blank the core or the essence of the get, which is the divorce. You are now released or free to marry any man that you choose. And that is Hariyat Muteret L'chol Adam. It seems that you don't really need the addition of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, but as the Balei Tosafot point out, that there is a machloket in the Gemara in Gitin between Rabbi Lozar and Rabbi Meir as to what creates a document. Is it Eide Mesira Karte or Eide Chatima Karte? Based on that, there's a machloket as to when the get goes effective, or what makes the get effective. Shmuel's statement is Alpi Rabbi Elazar, that it has to do with Eide Mesira Karte, because there is an alternative way to explain that Mishnah over there, and that is Alpi Rabbi Meir, who says that Eide Chatima Karte. They say that the reason that the get here is Psula has nothing to do with a get being written L'shem Kritut, because according to Rabbi Meir, you don't need that. It's only when the Eidim sign on it that it's become an effective get, and that's when the Kritut is created. So there they say the explanation of the Mishnah is Mishum Ketoto, that you don't want to create altercations or spats between a husband and wife, because the wife gets wind of the fact that her husband wrote a get with her name in it. And that's the reason we don't allow a get like that to be drawn up before the fact, because that could precipitate even a worse situation. But that means that the reasoning behind that Mishnah is either according to Rabbi Meir because of Ketata, according to Rabbi Elazar because of Eide Mesira Karte, and it's a failure in Lishma, or Lishma, L'shem Kretut. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel tell us, that the reason behind that Mishnah is not because of Ketata, but rather because of Lishma. And that's why they demand not only that the man's name and the woman's name not be placed in there beforehand, but even the Hareat Muter the Chol Adam, the Kretut part of it, the Lishma part of it, has to be left out. According to Rabbi Meir, you could have put that in. It wouldn't have been an issue at all. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmar telling you that that Mishnah is speaking within the position of Rabbi Elazar and telling you you need Lishma, and the necessity for Lishma is shown through that Mishnah to be something that you can't do generically. It has to be done for the particular woman, and if you pre-write it, it will fail. And that's why you need the explanation or the qualification of Yehuda Amar Shmar here on that Mishnah to tell you that we're not going with the reasoning of Rabbi Meir, but rather that of Rabbi Elazar. And now that we have that reasoning of Rabbi Elazar, then you can see from this Mishnah that a stam get is pasul, because we don't allow you to write the get, for that particular woman from the outset, and not something that was written generically and then later utilized for a particular woman. And that's the diuk that we're looking for, that a stam get is pasul. V'tu rami milta achrite. So now, going back to the beginning of the story, Ravina had said to Rabbappa, you weren't with us, when Rabba said all these wonderful things by the Beit Midrash. So here, v'tu rami milta achrite, Rabba also brought up another stira. The first stira was the one that we dealt with, which is, you have two mishnayot, one about kodeshim lishma, one about gitin lishma, and yet there's a difference between a generic situation, generically when it comes to kodeshim, it is kasher. Generically by Gittim, it's not kasher. That was the question that was posed. And then he explained that there's a difference between a get lishma and a zevach lishma, because a woman is not omedet legerushin, whereas a zevach is omed lakrif. So given that, there came to a difference halachically. So now the Rama Milti Achrite, mi amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, chatat shechshachta l'shem ola psula, shachta l'shem chulin ksheira. So we have a statement from Rav Yehuda Marav. So this is a statement of Rav, that there's a difference between doing something shelo lishma when you change it to another form of kodesh, versus if you do lo lishma, you change it to chulin. And Rav says, if you try to change it from korban or chatat, that you're moving to an ola, that will disqualify it. Whereas if you shech a chatat l'shem chulin, then it is ksheira. Alma demina machriba, delamina lo machriba. So the conclusion that Rava wanted to draw from this is that only something that is relevant to that particular halacha has the ability to undermine it. Something that is completely irrelevant in the world that we're speaking about cannot undermine it. That's the way that Rashi formulates it. And it's based now on what we think is a logical argument. And that's what Rava says. Rava says Rav's din derives from this logic, and the logic is, if you are relevant, you can undermine. If you're not relevant, you can undermine. Chulin is not in the world of kodoshim. So when you try to change a chatat to chulin, it's meaningless in the context of a chatat. If you try to change a chatat to an olah, which is relevant in the world of kodoshim, then you undermine the chatat, and then you ruin it, it becomes shelo lishma. The olah makes it shlo lishma, which we know from our Mishnah by a chatat, is disqualifying. Whereas the chulin, again, which is irrelevant to this topic, out of scope, does not change it shlo lishma. It remains a chatat like it was before, and therefore it'll be kasher. What's interesting here is that Rav's statement is only made about a chatat, when generally, and as we saw in our Mishnah, a chatat and a pesach are brought together with regards to issues of lishma. And that would lead you to believe that the din of chatat and pesach are actually differentiated. And that Rav's statement that chulin does not undermine a chatat would only be true by a chatat, not true by a pesach. And that's actually the way that the Rambam paskins. The Rambam in Hilchot, Psulei Mekdoshim, Perek Tei Vav, Halacha Yud Aleph, says exactly that. That a pesach, sheshachto l'shem chulin, would be pasul, unlike a chatat, because Rav's din is only said by a chatat, not by a korban pesach. Rambam bases that on the pasuk which says shenemar bo zevach pesach hu l'Hashem, and that by a korban pesach there's a higher demand of lishma in that sense, and therefore it has to be a pesach l'Hashem. And if you do it the same chulin, it would undermine, which is not true by the case of a chatat. Now, when Rav says ksheira over here, it's unclear whether he means ksheira, meaning that the korban is a good korban, velo alul balim, but it's unsuccessful at providing the obligation or discharging the obligation of the balim, which is the view of the Rambam. Or does it mean ksheira means ksheira legamrei? The chulin is so irrelevant so far out of scope of what is relevant to this korban that the korban remains a kosher korban, and the chatag would be successful at discharging the obligation of the balim, which is actually the view of the Ramban. So it turns out to be a machloket Rambam and Ramban as to whether the korban here is ksheira velo alu lebalim or ksheira ve'ala lebalim. And what actually becomes obvious now from Rava's explanation of Rav's statement is that the psul of lo lishma is not the problem of removing the previous name of the korban, but rather the posing of a new name or a new lishma on the korban. That is because here, when you do it l'shem chulin, even though in some ways you've now undermined the original name, that's not the problem. The problem is that you're now trying to impose a new name on it. If it was Kodesh, that new imposition would be effective and it would ruin it. On the other hand, the chulin, which is irrelevant, out of scope, which is ineffective, does not change it. And the original name remains intact. So you see from this that the most important issue is the new name that you're placing on it, not the undermining of the previous name. Very many, is that really true? Kol get shenichtav shelo l'shem isha pasul. Any get that's not written for a particular woman, the woman who's going to be divorced, is pasul. Vafilu l'shem ovedet kochavim nami pasul. Even if it's written for a non-Jewish woman, it is still pasul. Now, here you have seemingly what is a stira. A non-Jewish woman is not relevant to the world of Gitin. A get doesn't work by a Ben Noach. A get doesn't work by an Ovedet Kochavim. So now you're putting in an irrelevant individual filling that into the get. It'd be the equivalent of as if the get was blank over there. And yet we're saying that the get is pasul, that you can't now reuse it for a Jewish woman. But based on what you said, something that is out of scope or irrelevant shouldn't affect the kashrut of the item, bishani. And Rava answered this stira, get dalovedet kochavim minei havalei stama. If you drop the non-Jewish woman from it, it becomes a generic get, ustama pasul. And that's exactly the problem. A stam get is problematic. Kodoshim dal chulin minayu. If by kodoshim you drop the chulim out of the picture, havalei stama, then it becomes a stam, ustama ksheirim. And by kodoshim, by a zevach, stam works. So the idea being that if you have a negative formulation, that negative formulation can ruin whatever it is. So by the case of the chatat, an ola, which is a negative formulation for a chatat, that's a lolishma, it ruins it. By a get as well. If the get is written for another Jewish woman, it'll undermine the get because it's being written for another woman besides the woman that you're trying to divorce. And for that reason, it's a negative statement that will then undermine the ability to use this get for a particular woman. On the other hand, if you put in information that's irrelevant or out of scope, I have nothing. Well, if I have nothing, then I'm left in the default, the stam case. By zvachim, stam is fine. And therefore, in this situation too, the zevach that you tried to move to chulin, which is out of scope, irrelevant, then you've done nothing. Well, if you've done nothing, you're back to the world of stam. I don't have a positive formulation, I have a negative formulation. It's like a stam zevach, and a stam zevach is kasher. The other hand, by the case of get, where you fill it in with the non-Jewish woman, when you erase that woman from it, again, you're left with the situation where you don't have anything negative, you don't have anything positive, you don't have anything. You just have a stam get. And a stam get is problematic, because the get needs to be written for this woman in particular. So writing in the non-Jewish woman, you're right, does not, from a negative kavanah standpoint, doesn't make it shelo lishma, but it also doesn't make it lishma. And therefore you're left in the generic situation of stam, and a stam get is not kasher. Viroma milta achrite, and they also ask the following, mi amar rav yehuda marav, chatat shechachta l'shem ola, psula shechachta l'shem chulin ksheira. So again, did he really say this? Alma, you would conclude that if it's topically relevant, if it's within scope, it can undermine it. If it's out of scope, then it doesn't undermine it. So again, here, Rava repeats the logic behind Rav's statement, and then again challenges it from another location. Don't we have a braita? Tocho, velo, tocho. By clay cheres, there is a different din of Kabbalat Tumah from other Kelim. In general, the definition of a Keli is that it has a toch. It has a receptacle in it. Once it is defined as a Keli, then whatever object touches it has the capacity to make it Tameh. That doesn't matter whether it touches on the outside, the inside, anywhere that it touches the Keli, it makes it Tameh. Klei Cheres have a unique standing within the world of Tumah. Again, they do require that it has a toch, that it has a receptacle. But then with regards to the acceptance of Tumah, it has two features that are not true by other Kelim. The first feature is that it only is Mikabel Tumah internally, not externally. If you touch a Klei Cheres on the outside, the Tumah is not conveyed to the Klei Cheres. Number two is, it's Mikabel Tumah Mi'aviro. That means that the airspace within the Klei Cheres can generate Tumah. That means if you have a dead sheretz that is an Ava Tumah, that can convey Tumah to a Kli, because it's an Ava Tumah, making the Kli into a Rishon the Tumah. By normal Kelim, if the sheretz touch the inside of the Kli, the sheretz touch the outside of the Kli, it would be Tameh. If the sheretz is just hanging in the airspace of the Kli, it would have no impact. On the other hand, for Kli Cheres, if it touched the outside of the Kli Cheres, still would be Tahor. There might be a problem with Tumah Devi Rabbanan, but Midoraita, it is Tahor. If the sheretz touched the inside of Kli Cheres, it would be Tameh. In addition, if the sheretz was hanging inside of the Kli Cheres, it would make it Tameh. That's what's made Mitameh Me'aviro. That's the special din of a Kli Cheres. Now, on top of that, you have a special din by Kli Cheres, which is what is being said in this Braita, which is that Tocho, that the internal part of the Kli Cheres becomes Tameh, below Tocho, but not something that is inside of another item. So it's only if it's internal to it, not if it's internal to something else that is internal. So the scenario that Rashi describes over here is, you have a Kli Cheres that's sitting inside of another Kli Cheres. Let's, for instance, take an oven that has an opening at the top, and then inside of that oven is sitting a utensil whose mouth sits above the oven. If its mouth was inside the oven, then it would be the equivalent of being in the oven. So its mouth sticks out of the top and is above the level of the oven. So now, if you have, according to Rashi, you have a sheretz inside the oven. The sheretz inside the oven makes the whole avir of that which is in the oven tameh. Had there been food items inside of the oven, it would have made those food items tameh, because the sheretz makes the airspace of the klei cheretz tameh, and that airspace can then go back and be mitameh the ochlim that are found within its airspace. But in this instance, the ochlim are not inside of the oven. They're inside of this klei cheres that is sitting inside of the oven. So now you have a sheretz in the airspace of the oven. You have food items inside of the other utensil that's sitting in the oven. The braita tells you, tocho, the internal space of the oven is tameh, below tocho, not the space that's inside of that other klei cheres, because that's in the inside of the inside. Therefore, it's not tameh. Va'afilu klei shetef matzil. This is not only a din by klei cheres, this is a din by any keli. Klei shetef is a terminology that's used by the Mishnayot to describe things that are not klei cheres, meaning that they are items that the Torah describes v'shataf b'mayim, that you wash them by the waters, you put them into the mikveh, and they can become tahor. Klei cheres cannot become tahor in the mikveh. Klei cheres need to be broken. That's the only way you can be mitayar klei cheres, is through shvira. There are other kelim, wood kelim, metal kelim, that you can make them tahor by putting them in the mikveh, and that is v'shataf b'mayim, and that's why they're known as klei shetef. So what it says here is that even if the klei that's internal to the oven is not a klei cheres, but rather a metallic klei, or it is a wooden klei, it would still protect the food items or the food stuff that is inside of them. So what you might have thought, had the Mishnah only told you that a klei cheres is protecting it, you might have thought the reason for that is because the klei cheres cannot accept tumah migabo, from its outside. So here you are with the oven. The oven has a klei cheres that's sitting in it. The oven is tameh because there's a sheretz inside of it. The food items, or the food stuff that's inside of that klei cheres that has a mouth above the mouth of the oven, is tahor because it can't become tameh. The tumah that's touching it from the outside doesn't make it tameh. And that's why the food items that are inside of it are protected. What the Braita comes to do is dispel that and say, it has nothing to do with the fact that it's a klei cheres. Even if it's a metallic kli, even if it's a wooden kli, that can accept tuma from the outside, still the food items inside of it would be tehorim, because tocho that it is tamei, but not tocho. Now, Rashi explains the phenomenon for the following reason, and the Balei Tosfot will reject it, because what Rashi says makes it that you don't need the drasha of toch tocho at all. Rashi here invokes a principle, which is based on the first parak in the Gemara in Psachim, with regards to tumat avir kli cheres. This is just taking a step back. When you have a sheretz that is hanging inside of the kli cheres, the avir makes it tamei. The kli cheres becomes tamei because the sheretz is inside the airspace of the kli cheres. Now, how do I view the fact that the sheretz is hanging out in there making the avir tamei? There are two possible ways to view it. One way to view it is that a sheretz is an ava tuma, and therefore it fills all the airspace with tumat ava tuma. And that means that anything found in that airspace would then be a rishon, the tuma, because it fills it with ava tuma. That would mean that both food items that are found in there would become tameim, if they never touched the sheretz, and even other kelim that were in there would become tameim, even though they never touched the sheretz, because the air is filled with ava tuma. The other way to view it is that when a sheretz inside the airspace of a kli cheres, the kli cheres then becomes tamei. Which is that the sheretz with sanava tuma, that filling the airspace with tuma makes it that the utensil becomes a rishon the tuma. Then that kli cheres subsequently makes whatever's in it tamei. But that makes the difference, because once the kli cheres is a rishon the tuma, you can only make food items tamei, because sheni the tuma is only applicable to food items and to liquids. A kli cannot become sheni the tuma. The last level of tumah for a kli is a rishon the tumah. That means that a kli inside of a kli cheres in that instance would not become tumah. The Gemara there concludes, based on the psukim that say that b'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho kol asher b'tocho yitma b'oto tishboru. And then what is it that becomes tumah inside of the kli cheres? Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel asher yibo alav mayim yitma chol mashkeh asher yishateh b'chol kli yitma. So anything that is a food item or a liquid inside of the kli cheres becomes tameh. What it doesn't say in the psukim is that the kelim inside of it become tameh. That shows you, of those two options, the option that is correct is that when the sheretz is hanging in the airspace, it makes the kli cheres into a rishon the tumah. Then the rishon the tumah of the kli cheres makes the ochlim or the mashkim that are inside of it tameh into a sheni the tumah. Now, what Rashi says is, that's the scenario over here. The tanur can't make a kli cheres tamei. It can't make any keli tamei because of what we just described. You have an ava tuma sheretz inside of the airspace of the tanur. That makes the tanur into a rishon the tuma. A rishon tuma tanur cannot affect any kli inside of it. That's whether it's a kli cheres. That's whether it is a kli shetef. It doesn't affect the kli. Since the kli remains intact, it protects whatever food or liquids that are found inside of it from becoming tamei. The Balei Tosfot say, that's a really nice explanation, but that doesn't invoke what the Braita said. The Braita said the reason the food is tahor is because of tocho, the lo toch tocho. It's not because the kli doesn't become tamei, it's because the fact that you're in a double internal wrapping rather than a single internal wrapping. The Tosfot says, "V'kasha l'peirusho t'imkei machidush yoter b'klei shetef m'klei cheres." Then why does the Braita say, "Afilu klei shetef"? Even other kelim, it's obvious any kli that's inside of there will not become tamei. Vod d'ika chidush yoter b'klei cheres. There'd even be a bigger chidush of the klei cheres if the situation was reversed, that the sheretz was inside of the internal kli and the food was inside of the furnace or the oven, then you'd have even a bigger chiddush for klei cheres. But near the farish, the chol rebuta shel klei shetef hainu, mishom delav minahu. What's clear here, from that which is being said in the Braita, and that's what generates the problem for Rabba, is that the difference between a klei cheres and other kelim is whether are you of the same material. An oven or a furnace is made out of cheres, it's made out of clay, earthenware. Now you have an earthenware utensil inside of it. The assumption of the Braita is that an earthenware utensil inside of another earthenware utensil provides a hefsek, provides a barrier by which the tumah cannot move from the oven to what's internal to that clay cheres. What it would have thought is that by clay shetef, other materials, that would not have been true. Other materials, you would have a havamina, you would have the supposition that they can't provide that barrier. Since they are a different material, they can't provide a barrier against the tumah. Along comes the posuk to say tocho, below tocho. Even though it's a different material, it still provides protection because of the pasuk that says that only something inside of it, but not something with two levels of being inside of it, that it can't be mitameh. Now, based on that, what you see is the Braita indicates not only is something of the same material can provide protection, but even something of a different material can provide protection. That goes against what Rava just said is the logic behind Rav. Rav says something that is relevant, something that's of the same scope, same material, should provide protection. Something that is not relevant, out of scope, something totally different in material, should not provide protection. Yet the Braita says, both materials provide protection. Vishani, the way he answered is, Asu chulin etzel kodoshim kemechitza etzel tanur. Chulin by kodoshim is the equivalent of putting up a barrier inside of a tanur. Ma mechitza etzel tanur lo mahan yala klau. Just like putting up a barrier in the middle of the oven does absolutely nothing, af chulin etzel kodoshim lo mahan yala klau. It does absolutely nothing to help you over here. Titznan. We have a Mishnah in Kelim. Tanur shechatzitzu ben nisarim. An earthenware oven. You put boards right down the middle. You divide the oven in half. Obiriot. Or you hang some sort of curtain or some material that divides between the two sides of the oven. Benimtza sheretz b'makom echad. And you find a sheretz on one side of the oven. Hakol tameh. Everything is tameh. So what you see here is that a mechitza inside of the tanur does nothing in terms of providing protection from the other side. Or in essence, what we're saying here is a mechitza of different materials will do absolutely nothing for you in this situation. And similarly, the case of chulin by kodeshim will do absolutely nothing. That is because you have something that's a different material. Since it's a different material, it provides no protection or provides no division of the oven. Had the divider been a divider of cheres, then it would have created a division because now you have two ovens instead of a single oven. But when you just put a divider there, it does absolutely nothing. And similarly, chulin does absolutely nothing to the kodoshim. Kaveret, shehi pechuta. In the Gemara, in general, kaveret is used to mean a beehive. Over here, it's unlikely that it is a beehive that they're using over here, but rather something shaped similar to what a beehive would be. That means that it is a cylindrical item whose bottom is missing from it. So then you have a cylinder who normally would have been a kli had there been a base to it, but the base is gone, so it's just a cylinder. Pukuta, that's missing its bottom, but then, pukuka bekash, but they stuffed it with straw. So they took this cylinder and then stuffed it with straw, and then they dropped it into the airspace of the tanur to create a divider between the two sides of the tanur. Sheretz bitocha hatanur tameh. If there's a sheretz inside the cylinder, it's tameh. Sheretz bitanur. If there's a sheretz in tanur, ochlin shebitocha tmeim. Food items that are inside of the cylinder will also be tmeim. And the chiddush here, as Rashi notes, is despite the fact that it has kash in it and it's stuffed, and that makes it as if the hole that made it ois kli doesn't really exist anymore. Nevertheless, it's not a kli. And the fact that it's not a kli, that status makes it that it doesn't provide the protection that a kli does provide that we saw in the previous braita. Rabbi Eliezer mitaher. The legend says that that is protective and protects whatever food items are inside the cylinder. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, kal v'chomer. It is a logical reason to believe that there is protection provided over here. Imitzio b'meit hachamur. Find the Mishnah in Olot in Perek Tet. Mishnah Gimel in the Mishnah over there. If a kaveret of this type can provide protection when it comes to an ohel, if this was a mechitza in the middle of an ohel, it would prevent the tumah from one side of the ohel reaching the other side of the ohel. Lo tatzil b'klei cheres hakal. Klei cheres, we're talking about tumah, which is a level of tumah, which is much lower than that of tumat ohel, which is tumat mate. Certainly, it should provide that protection. If a cylinder that is stuffed with straw divides so that if you had tumat mate on one side, it will not affect the kelim or anything on the other side to become tamei, then certainly inside of an oven, which is a klei cheres, it should provide that same protection. Amru lo, the chachamim responded to him, lo, that's not a good logic. Im hitzil b'meit hachamur, the reason it saves by the mate, which is much more stringent, a higher level of tumah, shekein chaluka bo'halin. That is because the way Rashi reads it over here, we'll first read it in Rashi's explanation. Rashi's girsa also slightly different, which is shekein chokim. Derech bnei adam lachlok olim v'michitza. People normally divide up an ohel or a space by putting up mechitzot between them. So Rashi sees it as a very practical statement of the Chachamim, which is that practically, chalukah ba'olim is something that people do. That is the normal way to use it. Tatzil b'klei cheres hakal, shein chalukim ba'olim. Why would it then be efficacious, successful at creating a division within an oven, which people don't normally put dividers in the middle of their oven, or don't use these types of dividers, like veret stuff with kash, as a divider in the middle of the oven. They say, your kal v'chomer fails, not because it's not chamur and kal, it fails because the item that you're using functions differently in different locations. It's a normal function when it's dividing up an ohel. It's not a normal function when it's trying to divide up an oven. And therefore in the oven, it's not going to provide the protection that you are assuming. That's the way Rashi learns it. If you look in the Rambam, in the Perish of Mishnayot, in Kelim, Perichet, Mishnah Aleph, which describes the fact that Dinerach b'nei Adam, Achloko Olim b'mechitza, over there, the Rambam in the Perish of Mishnayot says, it's not a practical statement over here, but rather a halachic statement. And the Baal Tosafot say something similar over here. They say that it's not because people normally use this mechitza in Olim, and they don't normally use it in a case of a klei cheres, but rather it's a halachic statement. Kach nira lebeinu kodesh parish halchi. Im itzil kaveret pchuta upukuka ba'olam meit, shekein chukim olim perish, shekein mechitza achat, a mafseket matzelet. That when you have a single mechitza inside of an ohel, that's enough to divide an ohel. A single barrier inside of an ohel makes it the fourth wall, and therefore the ohel, now you have two ohalim now. Instead of it being one big ohel, a single divider makes it into two separate olim. Tomar b'klei cheres she'tachutz kaveret she'ein cholukim olim, meaning that mechitza achat amafseket b'tanur eina cholatzetzet. If you have a single barrier inside of an oven, that is not a divider. Alma b'tanur shechatzitzo lo plige. Tosfot believes here that Rabbi Eliezer agrees to the Chachamim, if you simply had a barrier, a wall that went down the middle of the tanur, it would not divide it. According to Rashi, if you had a single barrier down the middle, Rabbi Eliezer would believe just like it divides by an ohel, so too it divides by an oven. What the Baal Tosafot and the Rambam, similarly in the Perish Mishnayot, are saying is that's not true. Rabbi Eliezer does not believe that a single wall or barrier would work inside of a klei cheres, inside of an oven. What he is saying is a kaveret, which has multiple walls. It has four walls, or it's circular, so it has a surrounding presence there. That type of item can create a hefsek. And that's where Rabbi Eliezer argues on the Chachamim. And then the Chachamim's response to him is, listen, you're trying to apply dinim from mate and ohel to klei cheres when they're not apples and apples. It's apples and oranges. By an ohel, a single barrier would create a division, according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Eliezer. And by a klei cheres or an oven, a single barrier would provide no protection, not according to the Chachamim and not according to Rabbi Eliezer. Neither of them believed that that would provide protection instead of a klei cheres. So what the Chachamim are saying is, how can you take a din from ohel and apply it to klei cheres when they're apples and oranges? Yes, in this instance, you're speaking about a kaveret, which has multiple walls, or creates a larger mafsik than just a single wall. But nevertheless, bringing the din from ohel is irrelevant. Ohel has a lower standard. The standard by ohel is a single barrier creates a division. By klei cheres, you agree with us that a single barrier doesn't provide protection. So now you can't extrapolate from ohel to klei cheres. So that's the way the Baal Tosafot learned. Again, Rashi learns it as simply being a practical issue, which is, by Oalim, people put up mechitzot. By ovens, people don't put up mechitzot. So it doesn't work here. That means that Rabbi Lezer is arguing, the Chachamim saying a single barrier would work. Rabbi Tosafot, the Rambam, and others are saying a single barrier according to Rabbi Lezer doesn't work. It's a halachic question. You're trying to take a halacha from Oalim, where the din is totally different. One mechitza works by Oalim. To a din of Klei Cheres, where a single mechitza, everybody agrees. Even you, Rabbi Lezer, agree, doesn't work. So you can't extrapolate the din from Oel to the din of Klei Cheres. In either way, now, Hatinach, the Rabbanan. According to Rava, now, his explanation works great according to the Rabbanan. So according to the Rabbanan, the din here is the same thing as the din by the case of Zevach, which is by the case of Zevach, Chulin is the equivalent of a mechitza, or a kaveret in the middle of the oven, which provides absolutely no protection. Just like by a Klei Cheres, it provides no protection. So too, Chulin by Kodoshim have absolutely no impact. On the other hand, the Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the kaveret is successful at creating a division within the oven, then Ma'ika Lameimar. What are you going to say now? According to Rabbi Eliezer, the cases that are brought in the Braita say that when you have a foreign material inside of it, it does provide protection. It does provide a division. So again, you didn't explain it like the original Braita that we brought. That was speaking about a clay shetef in the middle, and that was providing protection. Gemara says, no, we look at chulin like a divider in the middle of the oven. And a divider in the middle of the oven, according to Chamim, is meaningless. So too, chulin in the face of Kodeshim is meaningless, because it's a foreign material. It's a foreign concept here. By Kodeshim, chulin is a foreign concept. By a clay cheres, the divider is a foreign material, and therefore it provides no protection. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, where a foreign material does provide protection, then also Chulin by Kodeshim should undermine it, because a foreign concept should undermine Kodeshim. And then, as Rashi points out, that would make this then a Machloket Tanaim, about Rav's statement between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. And as you rightly noted over here, this part of the Gemara seems to support Rashi's explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, that by a single Mechitza, he would believe that it is a Hefsek, even within a Tanur. And that's why he presents a problem for the Rava's explanation with inside of Rav. Because if he, like the Balei Tosafot, believed that a single mechitza that was not of the same material would fail, then in the end he is supportive of Rav's contention, and then you couldn't ask the question from Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Or says, Rabbi Eliezer, kavachomer kamar. Wait a minute, think about Rabbi Eliezer's logic. Rabbi Eliezer's logic is premised on a kavachomer. That means that inherently he believes that the material should not be successful at creating a division. That means underlying this, had he not had the Kal V'chomer, he would have believed that the foreign material that's in there would not provide a divider within the oven. So too, a foreign concept of Chulin will not affect Kodeshim. He has the Kal V'chomer, which says, despite the fact that a foreign material is not successful, in this instance it should work because of the Kal V'chomer. Ihochi, Gemara says, Hatam Nami, Lema Kal V'chomer. Wait a minute, if you're going to say that the logic can override what would be your intuition, which is intuitively you would have believed the foreign material doesn't create a divider, Kal V'chomer says, take Olamet, bring it over to Klei Cheres, and say that it does provide protection. So do the same thing by Kodeshim. Kodeshim, Echalalim Kodeshim, when it is something that is Kodesh, it can undermine Kodesh, meaning a concept that is relevant and is within the same genre, that can undermine it. Chulin lo kosher, chulin, which is a foreign concept, then certainly it should be able to undermine it. If you do that, and you apply the Kal V'chomer now, that goes against Rava's division, and actually would undermine the whole concept that Rav is bringing over here. Tosafot does note that the Kal V'chomer seems to go against everything we said until now, which is that the svara, the logic applied by Rava to Rav, was that chulin should have less impact than kodoshim. And also over here, we're saying it's a Kal V'chomer in the other direction. That Chulin should have more impact than Kodeshim, or it's more obvious that Chulin should have impact. Tosafot in the end says that there are other precedents within Kodeshim that show us that Chulin has a more deleterious impact than Kodeshim. And so even though maybe the logic would have dictated otherwise, we have other examples that tell us that here by Kodeshim, the logic is the opposite, and that is the basis for this Kal V'chomer. El Taima de Rav, Gemara now leaves behind what Rava said. Rava gave a logic behind Rav's position, which is, Foreign concepts, irrelevant concepts, out of scope concepts, do nothing. So that's why chulin doesn't affect kodoshim. Kodoshim, which are relevant, do affect it. Now, we went through a number of questions on that. We brought a question from Get. We brought a question from Tumat Kelim. And in each case, we tried to answer it. We answered it successfully, except for the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Now that we are unsuccessful at answering it, the word Ella in the Gemara indicates we're leaving behind everything that we said before. And now we are telling you that the reason for Rav is from a totally different concept. And you can see that in the Shita Mikubetzet, who quotes the Tosfot Toch, that says that the Ella here undermines everything before. And now we brought Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim onto par, that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are going to agree in this case, because the source of Rav's position comes from a Gzeira Takatuv. The only problem with that is, as we're going to see now, the Gemara continues on and seems to question Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, not the Chachamim's opinion, which seems to indicate that the Gemara is maintaining this logic even after it's found the source from Rav, from a Gzeira Takatuv. Although you could answer that the question is unique to Rabbi Eliezer, not because of the circumstances or situations here, the Gabei Kodoshim, but rather because of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion by Mechitza. And what we're doing is taking a din here and applying it over there and saying, how could Rabbi Eliezer have such an opinion over there? That is, it comes from a Gzeira Takatuv, rather than a logical argument. So then why over here does Chulin not have an effect here all the time thereof? Rabbi Elazar. It's like the view of Rabbi Elazar. Dama Rabbi Elazar, my time of the Rav. What's the reason behind Rav? It says, V'lo yechalalu et kodshei b'nei Yisrael et asher yarimu la'ashem. It says there that you may not profane kodshei b'nei Yisrael, kodoshim mechalalim kodoshim, ben chulin mechalalim kodoshim. They don't have a right to profane the kodoshim of b'nei Yisrael, with the exception of kodoshim which do profane other kodoshim, but that's based, as Rashi says in Daf Mem Vav and Bet, on the limit of the Gemara on Daf Hey, which is demachshava shlo lishmo mitchalalin mivshachat ota lechatat. So the vshachat ota lechatat teaches you that kodoshim do have the capacity to be mechalel, but that means velo yichalalu. There is nothing else that is mechalel. There's no other way to undermine the korban. That means chulin, which is not included under v'shachat otah lechatat, also does not have the capacity to undermine the kodoshim. So it becomes what we call a zera takatu. The pasuk tells you that chulin doesn't work, and that's the reasoning behind Rav. And then once you've done that, all the questions from Get and Tuma are not relevant anymore, because they are different worlds, and they don't have necessarily a zera takatu that protects you. And as Tosfot points out, even though this pasuk is speaking about Tevel and Truma, nevertheless, the Gemara brings it as an application here because of the extraneous word of Kachay that teaches you that something that is of a similar ilk has more impact than something that is of a different category or different scope. Alma Atakra, what you're telling me now is you can have a pasuk that comes, Afke Mikavachomer, and undermines or dismisses the Kavachomer. Remember, Rabbi Eliezer's Kal V'chomer says, you take the chamor and you apply it to the cow, which is that a mechitza, for instance, by Tuma. If a mechitza is successful within Tumat Amet, it should certainly be successful within Tumat Klei Cheres. Similarly, by Kodashim. If Kodashim are successful at undermining Kodashim, then certainly Chulin should be successful at undermining Kodashim. That would have been a Kal V'chomer that would have worked. Why don't we apply that Kal V'chomer? Zeret HaKatuv. I have a pasuk that says, no. The pasuk comes out and tells you, Kodashim can do it, Chulin can't do it. Now, if I extrapolate that back to the concept of Rabbi Eliezer, Hachanami, Leite Tocho, Lifke Mikal V'chomer. You have a similar idea by Tuma, which is, remember, we quoted before, the concept of Tocho, below Tocho, that within a Klei Cheres, there is Tumat Avir, but inside of another utensil, there's no tocho. That means that what otherwise would have been logical, then we come along and we say we have a gzera takadub that tells you tocho, below tocho. So say the same thing here with regards to Rabbi Eliezer's Kal V'chomer. Rabbi Eliezer's Kal V'chomer is, if a mechitza works by Tumat Amet, a mechitza should also work by Klei Cheres. Okay, you're right, Rabbi Eliezer. Just one problem. We have Exerata Katuv that says it doesn't work. how does the Gerizeret HaKetuvah undermine it? It's a little more complex, but Rashi points it out. If I need a pasuk to tell me that Toch Tocho is Tahor, that means that I wouldn't have automatically assumed that Toch Tocho is Tahor. I need the pasuk to teach me that. The pasuk is teaching me that even though Toch Tocho is Tahor, Tocho is Tameh, irrespective of whether there's a Mechitzah there or not. That's what it's teaching me. Otherwise, there's no point in having a pasuk of Tocho and not Toch Tocho. Again, Toch Tocho is a poliotse. It's an automatic derivative of the fact that if a mechitza works, then certainly a full kli can work as protection. Rabbi Eliezer just told us that a mechitza is mafsik. If a mechitza is mafsik inside of a kli cheres, then toch tocho, when it's a full kli inside of it, certainly it should provide protection. I don't need a pasuk to teach me that toch tocho is tahor. The only thing the pasuk can be teaching me is tocho is tameh, irrespective of whether there's a mechitza there or not. Or in essence, the pasuk is going to override the Kal Vachomer. If it does that, then you've undermined Rabbi Eliezer's logic. How could Rabbi Eliezer say a Kal Vachomer when the pasuk says no Kal Vachomer? And that's the Gemara's question. You're telling me now that you can have a pasuk by Kodoshim that says, despite the logic to say Chulin should undermine, nevertheless the Gzeret HaKadum says, don't make that Kal Vachomer. Say the same thing here. Toko and not Toko comes and says, despite the fact that you have a Kal Vachomer for Tumatameit, don't use it. That's what it says here. Hachanami leiti tocho, lifkei b'vcham achomer. It says, no. Hatocho mi ba'ilei lochlim shegiblan betit. Nisan avir tanur. What the Gemara in essence says is, there's another chiddush that you need here from that pasuk, and that pasuk will not undermine the logic of Rabbi Elezer's mechitza. Remember again, I said to you, we don't need tocho and lo tok tocho to teach you tok tocho is tahor, because Rabbi Elezer already has a kav achomer from Tumat Amet that a mechitza divides. So you don't need that for Tocho, you need it for Tocho. To teach you Tocho is Tamei. What the Gemara says is, there's a in-between stage. And that is if you have food items that are totally encompassed inside of teeth, inside of plaster, and then you put them inside of the tanur. So you could have thought that that means Toch is Tamei, Toch Tocho is Tahor. This food item is not inside of the oven, it's inside of the plaster that's inside of the oven. So I would have thought in that case that's called Toch Tocho and it's Tahor. Along comes the pasuk and say Tocho. That's considered to be inside of it. Anything inside of the oven is Tameh. Irrespective if it's wrapped in something, unless it is a Toch Tocho. And Toch Tocho is defined by Mechitza and Kli, not defined by being wrapped up in a bunch of plaster. And that's the chiddush of the pasuk, that Tocho is Tameh. But once you've done that, you can't use Tocho to override the Kal Vachomer of Mechitza. Tocho mi baile lo chlin shi giblan betit, vichnisam navir tenor, salka dat chamin, I would have thought, hoi ube nigi'a lo mitameh, since this food item cannot become tameh through contact, because it's enwrapped, it's enveloped inside of the plaster. So if the tumah touched the plaster directly, it wouldn't affect the food, because it can't touch the food. So too, babiro nami lo mitamo, so too, inside the airspace of the oven, it should also not become tameh. Because, now the logic being here, that anything that can become tamei through tumat negiyah can also become tamei through tumat avir, the kamash malan is, there's no correlation between them. Even if you can't become tamei through tumat maga, you can still become tamei through tumat avir, and therefore the food items wrapped in the plaster, even though if the tumah came directly in contact with it, they couldn't make it tamei because they can't touch it. Nevertheless, with inside of the avir klei cheres, it says anything tocho is tamei. Anything inside of there becomes tamei, irrespective of whether it comes into contact or could have come into contact with it. And that's the chiddush of the tocho. Now once you make that the chiddush of tocho, tocho is no longer available to override the Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Eliezer. And that leaves our logic by Kodoshim intact, which is the Gzeret HaKadu by Kodoshim undermines the Kal Vachomer. Kal Vachomer by Kodoshim that said, if Kodoshim undermines, certainly Chulin should undermine. Zerat HaKetuv says, no, that doesn't happen over here. Chulin cannot undermine. All right, Rabbonon. What about the Rabbonon? What do they do with this Tocho? Hanach lo tzrichekra. A food item that's inside of teeth, that doesn't need a pasuk to tell you that it is Tameh. That's obvious. There's nothing protecting it. Protection is only afforded by another keli. Protection is not afforded by plaster. And that I would have known is Tameh, even if you can't touch it, even without a pasuk. Therefore, for them, they still have the Tocho over here to teach you that a mechitza is overridden by the Pasuk. Now that's interesting because the Chachamim before argued fundamentally on Rabbi Eliezer and said, listen, Rabbi Eliezer, the Kal V'Chomer doesn't work because there is Mechitza Ba'olim, there is no Mechitza by Klei Cheres. Over here, the Chachamim seem to agree with the Kal V'Chomer of Rabbi Eliezer, just the Pasuk overrides it. The word Tochol tells you that irrespective of there being a Mechitza in there, it is still Tameh. So what you have to say then is that the answer before is the fundamental answer of the Chachamim. And over here, the Chachamim are saying, L'divrei Rabbi Eliezer, even according to your logic, where you do not accept our position before, nevertheless, you still should not be able to have the Kal V'Chomer, because Toch Tocho should undermine it, because you don't need Toch Tocho to exclude the case of Gavlan Betit, because even according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, it should be self-evident, and therefore your Kal V'Chomer should be undermined by the Gzeret HaKatuv. For us, we don't even have the Kal V'Chomer, because we undermined the Kal V'Chomer back in the Mishnah. Rav Yosef Barami Rami Shinui Kodesh HaShinui Baalim. Rav Yosef asked a question, conflating two issues, which is Shinui Kodesh, which was mentioned in our Mishnah, which is they changing from one type of Korban to a different type of Korban. And he then asked from Shinui Baalim, which is changing who the Korban is designated for. Umishani. And then he taught, Mi Amar Rav, Chatat Sheshachta L'Shem Chatat. You have one chatat, which is you bring a chatat for chelev, and then the kohen is shechting it for a chatat of dam instead of chelev, kshera, the chatat is kasher. The shem ola, if he shechs it the shem ola, psula, it ruins it. Alma, the conclusion you would draw from this is, the lav mina machriba, if it's a different type, it ruins it. Mina, lo machriba. But it's the same type, it does not ruin it. So if you try to move a chatat to another chatat, no problem. You try to move a chatat to an olah, then you have a problem. So then, v'hama rav, don't we have another statement from rav? Chatat sheshachta mi shemekuyav chatat. If you take a chatat and you shecht it for someone who also has to bring a chatat, psula, al mi shemekuyav olah, ksheira. Someone who had to bring an ola, they are kishera, alma. So now from this, you would conclude just the opposite. The bar mina machriba. If you're of the same type, you undermine. The lo mina lo machriba. If you're a different type, you do not undermine. What he's saying is if you take things where you're changing the type of korban, Rav said when it changed the type of korban, if you change it to the same type of korban, even though for a different reason, totally fine. If you changed it from this korban to a different korban, that's problematic. You've undermined the chatat. And that makes it problematic. Yet, when it comes to individuals, if someone who's chayav a chatat brings the chatat, and then the kohen does it for someone else who's chayav a chatat, undermines it. Even though they're the same, they're both chayavim in a chatat. On the other hand, if the other person was only chayav to bring an olah, and then he designated for that person who's bringing an olah, doesn't make a difference. So you come to just the opposite conclusion. Over there, the same type causes a problem. A different type is irrelevant. How do you reconcile those? Omishane. And he answered, Hatam v'shachotota lechatat amarachmono. Over there, the Pasuk specifically states that you have to shecht it for a chatat. Very chatat, the same chatat, nishchata. That when you shecht it for another chatat, you fulfill the mandate of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, shecht the chatat to be a chatat. And when you shecht it to be another chatat, here you bring a chatat for chelev, instead you shecht it as a chatat for dam, over there you didn't fail what the pasuk demands of you. Shecht it for a chatat. You did that. For a chatat, v'shem chatat nishchata. Hocha, v'chiper alav k'tiv. The pasuk says that the bringing of the korban chatat will be v'chiper alav. It will provide the atonement for this individual. Tiv alav, v'lo al chaveiro. It has to be providing atonement for him and not his friend. Chavero dumyodidide. Obviously, the situation when we're saying it's him and not his friend is in a situation where his friend has the same status as him. And that means, shemechuyav kaparak kimoto, that he is also chayav to attain that kaparak, just like him. Despite that fact, the pasuk says, b'chiper alav. It only works for a kaparak for him. It doesn't work if it's brought as a kapara for someone else. Or in essence, what we're doing is, Pasuk is telling you what the demand is in these situations. It's Gzeirat HaKatuv. By the case of Shinoi Kodesh, the Torah demands that it be brought as a Chatat. As long as you fulfill that mandate, doesn't matter if it's for the wrong Chatat, as long as you fulfill that mandate, it still remains a Kasher Chatat. On the other hand, if you change that mandate and you make it into something that's a totally different type, then it undermines the Chatat, and it's Lo Lishma, and it's Psula. On the other hand, by the Baalim, over there, the Chatat is uniquely designated for the Kapara, this particular individual. So if you bring it for that individual, you are successful. If you try to bring it for someone else who needs the same Kapara, unsuccessful. But that's only if the person who you're bringing it for in the alternative has the same need as the party that is getting the Kapara. That's what Mechiper Olav Velo Al Chaveiro. Whatever he needed, the other party needed, that other party will ruin it, because it's Lo Al Chaveiro. But that means if the other party needs an Olah, is not relevant to the world of Kapara, that's not called a deviation from Allah, Velo Al Chaveiro, because Al Chaveiro wouldn't have helped. Taking it to his Chaveiro, he doesn't need a Chatat. So therefore it remains with the original party. That's why the Chatat is not Psula in that case. Rav Chaviva Rami, Shinui Balim, Atoch Tocho. Now he combines these two things. If Shinui Balim, which we just mentioned, and Toch Tocho, which we mentioned before, Umishani, Mi Amarav Chatat Shishachta, Amishachayav Chatat Psula, if you bring a Chatat for someone else who is Chayav a Chatat, that ruins it. Amish Mechuyav Olah Kshira, if you bring it for someone who's Chayav an Olah, would work, no problem. Almo, you would have concluded from this the logic being, Dimina Machriba, that something that is the same ruins it. La mina lo machriba, but something that is not of the same type, it doesn't affect it. Vatanyo, tocho below toch tocho. Didn't we say before the brighta that we brought before, that when it comes to an oven or a clay cheres that has another clay cheres inside of it, it's protected because of tocho below toch tocho. Afilu clay shetef, matzil. And on that we said, even items of different materials, they also provide that same protection. They save it. So what you would have said is there, that sounds like, even if you are out of scope, irrelevant, a different material, you still provide the same protection as the same material. So to over here, just like a chatat ruins a chatat, someone who's chayav a chatat ruins a chatat, so to someone who's chayav an olah should also ruin someone that's chayav a chatat. Umishani, and he reconciles the two by saying, arba'a tocho tivei. In the psukim by Clay Cheres, in Parshat Shmini, the word tocho appears four times. Now the truth is that the word only appears twice. But in each time that it appears, it says the word tocho. V'chol kli cheres asher yifo mehem el tocho. You could have just said el toch. Tocho, so that means they have two limudim there. One is toch, then let's tocho, the extra vav. Kol asher bit tocho. Again, the word tocho is mentioned. Instead of toch, toch and tocho. Yitma v'oto tishboru. So the word there, tocho, appears four times. Really appears twice, but you have four limudim available to you. Arba tocho ktive, toch tocho, and toch tocho. Those are the four. Chadu gufe, one of you, them to teach you the din of toch. That the toch of a klei cheres is tameh. The gabo, it's outside, it's not tameh. Chadu gzeira shava. And one of them for a gzeira shava, to teach you that, just like the klei cheres can convey tuma through its avir, which is what we're saying over here, the food items found inside of the clay cheres become tameh in the avir clay cheres, so too a sheretz that's found in the avir of the clay cheres can convey tuma to the clay cheres. So that's a gzeir shava, toch toch to sheretz, to teach you that it's bilaterally, that just like the clay cheres can convey tuma in its avir, it also can receive tuma through its avir. Chad tocho shel zeh, velo tocho shel acher. We want to teach you that the din of toch and avir is only applicable to clay cheres. It is not applicable to other materials, clay shetef, wood, and metal. Idach tocho, velo toch tocho. The last tocho comes to teach you tocho, and not tocho, vafilu clay shetef matzil. So gzeirat hakatuv, that you have an extraneous tocho there, that teaches you that as long as there's something else there that interferes between the clay cheres on the outside and the material, the food items in the middle, then that barrier of having another kli there will provide protection for what's inside of it, irrespective of whether it's cheres or whether it is other materials. As Rashi notes here, and this is one of the reasons the Baal Tosfot rejected Rashi before, is that Rashi says you don't need the pasuk to teach you that a clay cheres protects inside of another clay cheres. That's because a clay cheres does not accept tumah migabo from its outside. So if you had a clay cheres sitting in the oven, and the oven has a sheretz in there, the clay cheres itself is tahor, not because of tok tocho, but just simply because the tumah cannot penetrate that clay cheres because it doesn't become tamei from the outside. So then the only reason to have the word toch and not toch tocho is to teach you that other materials of kelim that are in there provide that same protection. Given that, then you have a gzera to katuv here that teaches you that even though it's an irrelevant material, it still provides protection. And that's why it's differentiated from shinui balim, whereby shinui balim, only somebody who is relevant undermines, only someone who is chayav a chatat can undermine a chatat. Someone who is chayav an olah cannot undermine the chatat that's being brought for that particular individual. Okay, we're going to stop here at the end of Gimel Amud Bet.